This is Mrs. Droops, and even though Droops said Infonomicon Radio was over, you are listening to Infonomicon Radio. Merry Christmas.
You're right, Cosby One.
I like to explore the house, you know. I will go around the house. I'm Curiosity Cosby, you see.
Dear God, this has to stop now.
He was a Cosby fan at heart, it's clear. He searched and found a Cosby hair. He spent 10 long years and built a cloning machine. And now he's accomplished his wonderful dream. To make a house of Cosbys, it's a house of Cosbys.
This is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, episode 5-3. That's 53. That's the episode that's not supposed to happen. And, well, we've got so much shit going on that I decided let's do one for Christmas. So, Merry Holidays, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever, Yuletide, hoopla you got going on. Have fun with that. This is, of course, Christmas. It's December the 25th that the show is being released. Even though I'm recording it right now, it's technically the 23rd, but it will become the 24th pretty fucking soon. And the Infonomicon world's got a lot of shit going on. We've got some new guys. We've got Nightlord and Patrio and Low Tech Mystic and Iron Geek and me and Fizzone, and we're just doing all kinds of really cool shit. We're making a Linux CD. It's called Podfert. It's a Linux, it's a live Linux CD for creating podcasts and radio shows and all the things that's associated with that. It's going to have lots of really cool tutorials, and maybe the faggoty podcast people will say, "Hey, this is cool. Let's talk about it." And then maybe it'll become popular and get a little alternative media goodness going on. I joined the DDP over at binrev.com. It's the Digital Dog Pound. It's a group of really good guys doing a lot of really good stuff, really cool, slick shit. And that's kind of neat. We've got Hacker Media is coming out again with a new site that Yelsab, I think I pronounced that improperly, but that's how I say it, is redoing the site. It's going to do all RSS feeds. It's just going to take the feed and generate all the content. And it's really, really fucking slick. So that way we'll have the most ultimate up-to-date Hacker Media site in the world, which is kind of the goal of all this shit. We need a new guy. We need an art guy to join the club because we need some custom shit. Oh, I dropped my wedding ring. Hold on. I'm drunk and I'm fidgety. All right, I dropped all my shit while I was getting that, but that's okay. Drinking Jim Beam and Coke because Jim Beam and Coke is definitely good. But anyway, we need an art guy. We need some custom icons and graphics and fun shit like that. So if you have some free time and you like art, email me and then we will talk about stuff. Let's see, what else is moving on? Well, I've got some fucked up shit to talk about, and that's why I'm drunk. And where's my fucking drink? There it is. And I am fucking drunk, and I am gonna bitch and rant and rave, and hopefully people will enjoy this. And we're giving away free prizes. Anyway, this is the Christmas Infonomicon, and I'd like to talk about some holiday cheer to begin the show. And first of all, I want to talk about the fucking American Family Association. And I don't know if they have them where you live, but where I live, they have whole radio stations that are dedicated to these motherfuckers. And these guys talk about, oh, the children seeing pornography on the internet, and and it's like those Medi Alert things that just scare old people. It's got an old person, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, and it just scares them into buying their product with their service. And the American Family Association does that too. They're like, well, you know, you obviously don't have the free time to, you know, teach your children things or monitor what they're doing and just, you know, be a parent. So they want to sell you this software. Well, they don't even say that. They talk about this American Family Filter. And the American Family Filter by the American Family Association sounds like something you'd want to put on your computer to keep the evils of pornography and whatever away from your children. But it's a service. You pay them for this. And their tech support people are very rude. And you might get a computer you bought from somebody that has this shit on there, and it doesn't work a lot of the times. And then you have no internet access, but you're still paying, or somebody's paying, for this American Family Association filter to protect you and your loved ones. And I hate fucking people that say, hey, we're here to help, and then they're like, go give us some money and we'll help you. That's fucking the most biggest bullshit. You know, like, at least say we're charging for this product instead of saying, go to American Family Filter, blah, 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 and check it out. You know, fuck those people. They're just cocksuckers. They don't do something that would, you know, help the American family or the families anywhere by teaching them, hey, here's how you stop things like that and how you monitor what your kids are doing. Or here's how you teach your children, you know, to be good people. It's like, no, let's secretly block them and blah, 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 and give us money, and jeez, fucking Christ. Anyway, Christmas in America. It's a wonderful holiday, and because it's a wonderful holiday other places too, where everyone is supposed to be nice and kind to everyone else. And that's really good. But according to the American Family Association, you don't have to be kind and nice to people if you don't agree with them. And, that's kind of fucked up, isn't it? You know? Oh, we'll be nice to everyone unless you do not agree with them. And, for example, the American Family Association doesn't like Target, or Target, however you want to pronounce it, because Target doesn't like those goddamn annoying Salvation Army fucking bell-ringing fuckers hassling their customers coming out of the store. So they said, hey, Salvation Army guys, go ring your bells somewhere else. And American Family Association said, oh, no. Oh, no. We have to help with all this. So they got all their little fucking American Family Association sheeple to boycott Target. And no thought about, like, the people that, like, have jobs at Target. You know, all those people. We don't give a fuck about those people because, you know, somebody decided that those guys are fucking annoying standing out in front of the fucking store. So fuck that shit. And, you know, the American Family Association just fucking knows best. They preserve values in American families. And they're just fucking cocksuckers. Ah. You know, practice what you preach just a little bit. And I preach drinking, so hold on. Anyway, I got a new job. I'm working for myself. I'm a nerd for hire. And let me tell y'all something about jobs. Jobs should not suck. If you don't like your fucking job or your profession, get a goddamn new one this year. That's your fucking goal. Get a new job that you do like. If you don't like your fucking asshole boss, ask him for a big raise that you deserve. Because, you know, there's no fucking slackers or whatever that listen to Infonomicon. We're all, you know, very productive people. And when that fucking asshole won't pay you more, quit. That's what I did. They were paying me fucking, like, in the employee handbook that I have to follow to a T that says, you can't wear, oh, it doesn't even say that you can't wear flip-flops. It does not even fucking say that. It's up to the boss's discretion. And, you know, if I'm standing in the back fixing people's computers, who cares what my fucking shoes look like, you know? I want to wear flip-flops. They're comfortable to me. If I'm crawling around in someone's fucking attic, I'm going to go get my shoes on because I don't want fucking crap all over me. I'm not a fucking idiot. You know, that insulation shit's itchy. But if I'm just fixing computers, what does it fucking matter? So, he decides, I can't wear flip-flops. But it also says in this employee handbook from my jackass boss that they pay a competitive wage, you know. But, no, they don't. And if you ask for more, they're like, oh, we can't afford to do that because we hired this other guy that's making a lot more money. And he's not even making enough money to cover his... Well, I was making enough money to cover my ass. They should have given me a little bit more money because I was doing what I needed to fucking do. But fuck those people. I quit. And I have worked like 3 days out of my house since then, in the last like month since I quit. And I've already made more money this month than I made in a month working for those other people where I had to work every fucking day. And it's just jackass bosses. I fucking hate that prick. Anyway, let's see. Where I kind of skipped ahead of what I was doing. Then they'd make me work like 40 hours a week. And then they'd try to make me work from 8 to 5 on 4 of them, and then refuse to pay me a full-time employee. I was a part-time employee working 40 hours a week. That making a fucking pittance. So fuck those people. I hate motherfuckers that try to take advantage of other people. And if I learned anything at fucking business school, which I learned a couple things. I'm going to share one of them with you. When you quit a job and they offer you more money, you fucking refuse and you get the fuck out of there. Because that's not a place that you should be working for. Of course, when I decided I was going to not work for them anymore, they're like, oh, what's the problem? Can we pay you more money? Would that help? And it's like, you know, I don't want to work for your jackass motherfucker. Like, I don't steal for my job. I'm not a thief, not a criminal. But, like, I'd buy things for people I was doing other work on the side for. And I would always pay full price for that. And then I'd buy something for myself, and I got my employee discount. And I would just get my employee discount. And then they would fucking grill me. They're like, who are you buying this for? Like, don't treat me like a fucking thief, you fuckers. You know, that's a good way to make people not fucking like you. So, you know, I might have, after they treated me like that, you know, traded some RAM that they had extra, you know, that was used for, like, a nice monitor that's sitting over there on my other desk. But I only was spiteful when they were fucking spiteful. Or I just made that story up as a bad example. I love fucking drinking. I hate that fucking job. Fuck those people. Now, I know this is kind of late because I'm releasing this on December 25th, but don't buy too much this Christmas. Retail is not the reason for the season. My favorite bit of... One of my favorite bits of the holiday season is Apple's supposed to come out with a new iPod in the beginning of next year, like in February. Now, why wouldn't they come out with this new iPod before Christmas? Well, they're trying to make as much money as they can off the old ones that they already have out. You know, everybody's got to buy the Nano because it's fucking cool. You know, it's smooth, it's thick, and then they're going to release a new one. And it's going to be like, oh, the Nano's old, I have to get a new one. And you're just going to keep buying iPods. My family has 3 iPods between my wife and I. 3 fucking iPods. The fuck do we do? Like, mine's 40 gigs. I use, like, 5. My wife has a Nano and a Mini. And I'm probably going to get her a new one just because she likes them. And Apple's going to get some more of my money, but whatever. I just bought her a nice 20-inch iMac. It's beautiful. It's got a gig and a half of RAM. It's fucking beautiful. But Apple's a business, and they're trying to make money. And I don't know. Like, when Infonomicon comes out with a new episode... I don't try to get as many people to download the old one. I just say, hey, get the new one. It's better. It's newer. And we do that as soon as we can. We don't try to milk downloads or I don't know. This is going to be a bad show because I'm drunk. You might as well just turn it off now. And I also really enjoy that stores are selling holiday trees. Now, I don't think many Jewish people buy a tree for Hanukkah. And I don't think there's a tree needed for Kwanzaa, but maybe there is. So this holiday tree is really a Christmas tree. But these pussy companies don't want to say Christ. But they don't mind making a little cash off of Jesus. They're like, oh, it's a holiday tree. I don't have to say Jesus, but you're going to buy it because that's what you do as a Christian. You buy Christmas trees. And that's funny. Now, what did we get for Christmas? Well, I got my parents some passport holders because I think that they need to travel. My dad just retired. And want them to go traveling. When did I get these passport holders? Did I purchase them? No, I purchased them a while back so that the store doesn't notice they sold passport holders for Christmas. My niece got some crap. I was getting her a Leapfrog, but she already has one. So we set them up with a nice computer, which I did buy because I didn't know about the whole Leapfrog thing. And we gave them a bunch of like little kid toys. My brother-in-law got some blank DVDs so he could copy movies on his new DVD burner. And today he went and rented some movies just so he could copy them. He's like, hey, you need some copy movies? And I'm like, hey, I'll give you some blank DVDs. Because, you know, whatever. Shit costs too much. And I really feel that stealing's bad, but when people are trying to rip you off, you can fuck them up. And that's just my fucking opinion. A good thing to do during the holidays is to adopt an old person or a kid. And I'm not talking about like let them live at your house. I'm saying like go, there's these Christmas tree things, and you can take their names. And don't get the kid that wants an Xbox or a PlayStation 2. Go get the kid that's like, I want a jacket. I need a warm jacket. Because that kid really needs a warm jacket. You know, somebody doesn't need a fucking Xbox. Go do that and actually help somebody out. I've been giving computers away like fucking crazy to people that need them. I've been trying to do that and trying to spread Linux out to more people. We're having a Bubba Hacks show, so there's new Infonomicon TV, hopefully today, maybe tomorrow. Depends on how drunk I get tonight and how much I feel like doing tomorrow, which might not be anything. And, of course, like I say, the trick is to buy Christmas gifts all year long. That way, you're not the creep that doesn't get, you know, everybody something, because you don't want to be the guy that's like, I don't celebrate Christmas, because then people are like, oh, here's my stuff. But you're that consumer that isn't counted as buying what they tell the sheep to buy for Christmas. And that's an interesting thing to think about, you know? Fuck up all this business crap. Now, lastly, do some stuff for yourself during your time off from work or school or whatever. Take at least one day and do only things that make you happy. Like, take a day and say, you know, I'm not going to work on this shit for work, or I'm not going to do this. I'm going to just fucking record Infonomicon TV, and I'm going to put some funny, at least what I think is funny, out. People like my sense of humor, some of them do. And if you don't, well, watch something else, bitch. Some of the things you should do, things that make you happy. If you listen to this show, you should try out the distro that you've been wanting to try. There's some kind of Linux you want to try, you know, like Podfert Linux over at podcastincubator.com, whatever. Go try it out. Check it out. It's an alpha right now. Whatever. Find another distro. Catch up on radio shows that you like. Listen to some Twat. Listen to some Ninja Night School, whatever. Dance naked in your computer room. Make sure webcams are off, because you don't, you know, get pwned. Enjoy yourself. Masturbate. Drink. Have a good time. If you're a lady, masturbate and send that. Don't turn your webcam off. Send that in to me. But anyway, enough with all that mess. Let's see, what are some holiday cheers? Larry Ellison got caught stealing $100 million from shareholders. And, whoa! Now, I was in possession of some street signs one time that I didn't even fucking steal. And I got 20 felonies that, of course, were absolved after I went to some community service and some little don't steal things classes. And, you know, that could have, that was big on my record. I had 20 felonies for a while. Larry Ellison, $100 million. Nothing. They're like, all right, your punishment is you gotta pay it back. And then they were like, well, he stole from the stockholders and he owns like 33% of the stock. So if he gives $100 million back, then not all the shareholders are gonna get all that money and he's gonna get a big cut of it, you know, 33%. So why don't they just take, you know, that $100 million he has to pay back and make him pay back $33 million or whatever that math is. I'm a little drunk. So that he gets, you know, a cut of it, but it's equals out to $100 million to all the shareholders that he stole it from. You know, that makes just sense to me. Of course, as you're going to listen and find out in this Infonomicon radio hour or whatever, that there's a lot of things that make sense to me that don't make sense to the people making the decisions. Instead, they decided he's going to have to pay that $100 million back to some charities, you know, while he's living in this fancy house and not going to jail. He's just going to have to donate, you know, $100 million to some charities. How fucking shitty is that? So he steals $100 million and then has to give it away to people he didn't steal it from. So the people that got fucked over, they just continue to fuck over and his ass going to sit in his big mansion. How is that anything? Fuck that. You know who else is screwing you over? The music industry and the record industry, or the movie industry, whatever. They're screwing you over too. Now, I bought some DVDs for Christmas because I like watching movies. I enjoy it. It's fun. Whatever. I'm a sheep. But I bought them for $5 a piece at the fucking bargain bin. I got Short Circuit. If you haven't seen fucking Short Circuit with fucking Johnny Five, you need to go watch that motherfucker. I got Total Recall. I got, The Jeffersons first season. I got, Three's Company the first season. In the first episode, they actually say Jack's gay and they call him a fairy and all that good stuff, which was very different than the ending of the show. And a lot of the money actually that's being made off of the Three's Company DVDs is actually going to the estate of John Ritter, like as a charity, not the state, but like a charity for him in his name. So that's kind of cool. Joyce DeWitt, who's the black-headed girl, headed up that. And she probably doesn't have a lot of money, you know, so I don't think she did anything else. But whatever. And people are sheep. That's another thing I want to talk about. And I had an idea. Remember a long time ago they had those little Tamagotchi things or whatever that you had to feed and play with or whatever, they die, and it was a big fad? I think someone should write a software, write it in Java so it works on these little cell phones, and write one of these for that, where you have to feed them and this, that, and the other. But here's the kicker. People aren't going to want to play with this thing for like a week at a time. They want to, you know, make it better, whatever. Send them to camp where they pay you money, like $10, $3, $5, whatever. Have it through the cell phone bill, because the little girls that are playing with these don't care about their cell phone bill, whatever. Daddy's got a lot of money. And you can send these things to camp, and when they come back from camp, they have better stuff, which is all written in the program, so that people will pay you to not play with the toy that you sold them. And people that mistreat their little pet, toy, whatever, their kids get kicked out of camp, and you just keep their money. So people don't really care about the things, you can kick them out of camp and just profit their money. And you know what? This, people would buy that. That's funny to me. Anyway, on to the news. Silent Night for music sales. Holidays buyers spurn tunes as industry pictures worsens. Let me think. What is a popular band that isn't, I don't know, just some fucking corporate shill? What's a new popular band that's not a... Is it the Pussycat Dolls? No, they're owned by the they're a made up band, and they're only there to make profit. Who's someone else that oh, I can't think of anything. Maybe because fucking music sucks, and their records are fucking not selling. Meanwhile, music with artists that actually like enjoy making music and are fucking cool and aren't corporate shills, their music isn't going down the drain. That's kind of interesting. Music companies are bitching that some satellite radio receivers already allow listeners to record a few hours of programming. Now, that's alarming to these music publishers and record labels, which are paid a lower fee for songs that are played on the radio than they are for songs that are purchased through download services or CDs, or in the case of the labels, for songs that play on music subscriber services like Napster. The labels argue that the new devices are essentially recorders that allow consumers to keep songs permanently without paying record companies appropriately, though users must keep subscribing to satellite services to be able to access the recorded songs. Now, the challenge from satellite radio is one of the latest examples of how technology is changing consumer behavior and how that's undermining long-standing business models for record companies, Hollywood studios, and other creators of entertainment content. The new radio receivers tap into deeply held anxieties to record labels, which are trying to embrace new technologies while... What? We're trying to fight off the widespread online piracy of the product. The music industry already seen sales of recorded music fall steeply in the past 6 years, in part because of the industry's inability to harness new technologies. I think it's their inability to make music that's good. Some, you know, that whole argument. There's, let's see, their ability to harness new technologies. Let's see, iTunes, that's new technology. They're using that, yeah, but some labels aren't, like Sony. And, oh, they want to renegotiate that, so they have to charge more money, so they're making more money off of iTunes. Then, that's what they want to do. They want to charge more money for songs. And that's how they're changing these business models. They're not adapting. They're just trying to fucking squeeze everything they can. And, you know what? Fuck that shit. If you're a musician, fucking tour, fucking play music, and enjoy playing music. I do this for fun. You know, I have a real job. And if you can make money doing what you love doing, that's fucking cool. And don't go with these fucking music labels. They're just there to fuck you over. You know, like if you're not making shit money off the music you make, then you're not really making it for yourself, are you? You're just making it to be a fucking shill. Let's see, what else? Who is adapting? Oh, here's an adapting article. This isn't about the music industry. Now, of course, there's a big deal about books on the internet, right? Well, one of the country's biggest publishers said it intends to produce digital copies of its books and make them available to, listen to this, search services offered by companies such as Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and Amazon while maintaining physical possession of the digital files. It's a move to digitize its active backlist of an estimated 20,000 titles and as many as 3,500 new books each year comes at a moment when technology companies in the publishing industry are wrestling over rights and economic models for books online. Now, of course, this company is HarperCollins, and their effort to make search companies use its digital copies is an aggressive response to let anxieties felt by publishers worry that they will lose control over their intellectual property. Now, here's a good quote by Jane Friedman, who is the chief executive of News Corp's HarperCollins Publishing. "It's now the time to build digital infrastructure to allow us to protect our rights, which is good, and the rights of our authors, which is good, and we'll make all of our books available digitally, which is good, and we'll store the digital copies and license them out to those who want to use them." Sounds fair to me. Music industry. Things change. It's a business world. I've said this before. Adapt. Don't fucking sue. Don't fucking scare. Don't fucking be a bitch. Why are you going to be a bitch? What is the fucking point of being a bitch? Granted, you've had years and years of experience of being a motherfucker, but you should, you know, take an edge from somebody else or take a lesson from somebody else and do the right thing every once in a while. I don't ever hear the recording industry coming out against Sony because they, you know, did the whole DRM, we're going to fuck you up the ass kind of shit. Fuck that shit. Every day you find out something worse about it. Now if you click no on the fucking end-user license agreement, it fucking installed that shit anyway. Fuck that. They should come down fucking big deal on these people and nothing. It's just like, oh, don't steal our music. We can do whatever we want, but fuck you. And how is that any what such fair? Fair should is not even a word that's used anymore because these people and other industries and other businesses, this, that, and the other, are just fuckers. And fuck that. Let me drink for a second. God, I love drinking. Let's see. Here's a bright idea. In America, there's an excess of money for some things, and there's a bunch of people that get money that shouldn't deserve it, such as people that get money from the government for not doing a goddamn thing. I have a job that I work at. My wife has a job that she works at. A lot of the money that we make at our jobs is taken away for taxes, which is good. We gotta pay for the government. What the fuck ever. But they don't really have to work for their money, and they just fritter the shit away. Now, let's say I'm running for a political office, and there's a lot of people that I could help, you know, like the people that I should be fucking helping, the people that are helping the economy, the people that have fucking jobs, this, that, and the other. Or I can just say, hey, I'm going to give some more welfare to this. And then I get all that vote instantly. All those fucking shitty people. And then I, you know, back them up. And I'm not saying welfare as in welfare. I mean, maybe the music industry gives me some money and is like, hey, pass this legislation for me, man. And then I have to follow through on that. And the way our legal system is set up and our government system is set up, you can't really be elected without being a crook. And that's really fucking bad in my mind, but maybe not in others. And so there's all these people, you know, getting special treatment or this, that, and the other, and, you know, free health care for people that can't afford it. And I'm all for that. If you can't afford health care, you need health care. But if you don't fucking work and try to help things, make things better, and you sit on your ass fucking watching TV, smoking weed all day, fuck you. I feel bad for your fucking kid that you got pregnant with while you're doing crack while you're pregnant, and your kid has to go sit in the fucking NICU for a long time when, you know, I feel bad that I have to pay for that. I feel bad for your kid. He has to grow up like that. But you are a fucker. Why should my money have to go to fucking support your fucking ass? You know, there's a lot of things that we could pay for that are good. Like student loans. If the more educated your society is, the better your fucking society is, you know, as a whole. Now, I'm not going to say that people are going to get more educated to be fucking crooks. But Congress, in their infinite wisdom, has cut funding for student loans. And I'm not even going to go into why they cut, you know, $12.7 billion from student loan programs and making students pay higher interest payments, fewer options, this, that, and the other. You know, because that really hurts the fucking economy. I'm not even going to go into that. That was the first page of the Washington, or the, New York, or the, fuck, I don't know, Wall Street Journal. Whoo! Let me drink a little more. On the second section front page, another boost for the boss. Compensation rises again as CEOs get lavish packages for coming, going, or staying. So they're getting more money. Students are getting less money. Where does any of this make fucking sense? Where does any of this make fucking sense? Fuck that shit. Let's see. Oh, here's another one. It's more government money going to fucking something that doesn't fucking matter. On February 17th, 2009, some U.S. consumers may be in for a surprise. Their televisions may go dark. Lawmakers say the switch to all digital transmission will improve emergency response and homeland security by freeing up radio spectrum for police, firefighters, and other first responders who currently share a limited number of channels. Digital signals are more compressed than traditional analog channels, so they'll take up only a fraction of the spectrum space now given to broadcasters. Now that... Okay, whatever. We're all going digital. Sounds good. It's going to help with, you know, homeland security and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, some of the spectrum that's going to be cleared, because analog signals do take up much more than digital, is going to be set aside for these emergency responders. Oh, but what happened? Well, what happens to that rest of that? Because they're not going to need all of that. Oh, it's getting auctioned to wireless companies. Lawmakers estimate the auctions will bring about $10 billion. Holy motherfuck. So they're going to go to help, you know, first... Oh, $10 million, or $10 fucking billion dollars? Okay. They're not doing this to help emergency workers or homeland security. They're doing it for the $10 billion. Now, about 15% of U.S. households don't subscribe to cable or satellite services. And I know that number's a lot higher where I live because people still watch black and white TVs. And these people can only get over-the-air broadcasts. And, like, that, I guess I'm included in that because I don't have cable or satellite, but I don't have over-the-air broadcast either because fuck that shit. Anywhere from 16 to 20 million households would either need to upgrade to new digital-ready television sets or purchase a set-top converter box to receive digital signals. The consumer electronics industry estimates that converter boxes may cost as much as $50. Well, of course, to, you know, help with unhappy consumers, lawmakers agreed to spend up to $1.5 billion of their $10 billion to help people buy converter boxes. You know, to help emergency workers. And households can request $2 coupons to offset the cost of purchasing the converter boxes. So hold on, they're going to cost $50, so you get $80. Where's that other $30 going to go? Oh, that's because people are going to have better models than that $50 model. So you're going to be paying corporations a little bit more money, and then there's going to be a little more tax money. And then they're making $10 billion. Oh, motherfuck. Fuck that. This is my goddamn fucking spectrum in my fucking room, and I should... Oh, and they're making $10 billion. And I'm eating chips, and that's bad radio. They're fucking good, and I'm fucking drunk. Alright, let's go on to something that I'm not going to cuss about as much. Blogs. Blogs fucking suck. But anyway, the reality is there's so many fucking tech blogs as there are fucking stars in the sky. And only a tiny fraction of them fucking matter. So how do you fucking look at all this shit? There's this website, it's tech.memorandum.com, and it's running some software. It's written by Gabe Ribiera, who is a former Intel compiler programmer. It sifts through hundreds of technology-oriented blogs to find the hour's hot topics and who's saying what about them. And the results are presented concisely in a single place, updated every few minutes. That's kind of slick. That's cool. There's some more tech goodness. Oh, man, I love drinking. Let's move on to more stupid shit. Facebook. If you're in college, you can get a Facebook account. Or, if you have a .edu email address, I should say, you can get a Facebook account. How do you get a .edu email address if you're not in college? Join a college-sponsored Linux users group. And then get a, like, droops@lulug.cs.something.olemiss.edu. And join up on Facebook. And they're worried that some students are posting much more detailed personal information on Facebook, including cell phone numbers, physical addresses, even racy photos. And that has, of course, led some universities to question whether it poses various privacy and security risks, including student harassment. Well, I think if you're fucking stupid and you're going to post whatever on the internet, and that's what you get. And you should learn, you're in college now. And Lori's blah 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 Edgeworth is floored by some of the information students put up about themselves on Facebook. She's, of course, an administrator at the University of Toledo in Ohio. Miss Edgeworth says that she has seen photos posted of underage students drinking at parties. Oh my God, in college, students are drinking? She also handled disciplinary cases related to Facebook, most of them sparked by students who felt threatened about comments or photos posted about them from classmates online. Miss Edgeworth is now considering some workshops on the dangers of putting up too much personal information online. Good, teach them. That's awesome, Miss Edgeworth. Hold on, you're getting mad at people? Disciplinary cases related to Facebook? Some people have too much fucking free time. Put on the fucking work. All these fucking students bitching. Anyway. Some colleges are already exploring ways to limit students' exposure to Facebook. Oh, here's a good one. Let's ban students from accessing Facebook from university computers. That's a good way. Because, you know, everyone has a university computer. Who doesn't have a fucking computer now? Come on, you're going to college. Now, one particular concern, some students use Facebook to broadcast their whereabouts at all times, a habit some students and school officials could lead to stalking. You know what? If you're going to be irresponsible, that's your own fucking deal. That's all I'm going to say. Because I want another fucking chip. All right. I was going to read this one at the early part of the show, talking about fun stuff. If you hadn't heard about it, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And they're worried about how they're going to throw a wild party, like Mardi Gras. So they're selling rights to be the official sponsor of the next Mardi Gras for a scant $2 million. Remember that $2 million figure. For the first time since New Orleans began holding Mardi Gras some 150 years ago, the city government is planning to aggressively solicit corporate sponsorship to cover the cost of police overtime, street cleansing, and the other city services that make Mardi Gras possible. You know, I live near there. My parents do. I grew up near there. And locals don't really go to Mardi Gras. It's all tourists that come in. You know, locals are involved, but the local businesses make a lot of money, and the tourists come and spend all their money on fucking beads so bitches will show their titties and all that shit. And Mardi Gras, they're trying to have a nationwide advertising campaign, and they're looking for proposals for possible sponsors. Now, members of the Mardi Gras crews, which are the social clubs that pay for their own floats, costume bands, and trinkets through dues and fundraisers, and New Orleans has an ordinance that forbids corporate sponsorships of parade floats. Instead, the official Mardi Gras sponsor will get exclusive rights to webcasts from dozens of parades and parade viewing stands for 8 days in late February. Hold on, they're going to webcast? And they're not going to put corporate logos on the floats? And it's not going to be the Nokia Mardi Gras? It's going to be Mardi Gras. That's fucking cool. They also get spots for riders on parade floats. And inclusion in all press announcements. So it's going to be like, hey, Mardi Gras, it's coming up. Nokia. And right to first refusal to sponsor Mardi Gras again in 2007. Under the city's plan, smaller scale sponsorships will be for sale for $250 or $1,000 or less, offering graduated benefits from the number of placements in print, television, radio ads. The New Orleans officials have ruled against offering the title sponsorship. Of course, it would be like the Nokia Mardi Gras. It's always going to be Mardi Gras. And they plan on handling it in a discreet way that doesn't compromise the titty significance of Mardi Gras. They meant cultural is what they put, but I think they meant titty. Now, Mardi Gras has been long billed as the greatest free show on earth. And that's, of course, going to increase criticism from traditionalists who cherish its status as one of the few major sports or culture events that are essentially devoid of advertising, except for the people that make the beads, because those guys make a lot of money. A parade and related festivities can cost these crews, which are these groups that do it, from $100,000 to more than $1 million for these so-called super crews. And what the crews do, like Mardi Gras isn't one parade. Mardi Gras is ass loads of parades all around. And like you have the Zulu crew and they have the Zulu parade. I think they have a bigger, fancier title than Zulu crew. And they all dress in blackface and throw fucking coconuts and act like monkeys and have a good time. And they pay for all their own floats and beads and all the shit they throw out. So there's no corporate sponsorship. It's all good times and fun. But City needs money, it seems. And when you need money, your values get compromised. The European Union has, their antitrust regulators have formally moved to seek fines as much as $2.4 million a day against Microsoft for failure to comply with longstanding orders to open software markets for competition. Blah, 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 blah. Brad Smith, the Microsoft General Counsel, is a fucker. We've said this before. And they still have yet to start collecting their $2.4 million a day. And the EU is seeking to keep Microsoft from using its dominant Windows PC operating system to lock out competitors in the market for software that runs on small networking systems. Give it up. Fucking just let Microsoft go. Come on. If people want to have choice, they have Linux. They have other things. If they want to be fucking sheep, let them be sheep. I'm eating another chip. It's really good. AT&T is launching a web security news channel. AT&T is launching an online news channel aimed at corporate customers and dedicated to discussing internet security issues. The 24-hour channel called AT&T Internet Security News Network. So it's AT&T ISNN. And it features anchors, lectures, and alerts about emerging viruses and other security issues. Its content is streamed to users via the internet. Now, San Antonio-based AT&T, formerly known as SBC Communications, is rolling out the channel a few days ago for hundreds of businesses as well as government customers. Access to the channel will complement a package of security services that businesses can negotiate when they contract with AT&T. Users have to install software, blah, 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 to get this stuff. I'm getting the hiccups from the bourbon. With the new channel, customers can monitor whether security threats are floating around the internet and can learn how to prevent or mitigate viruses and worms affecting computer users. So when a big worm hits and you have no internet, use your internet to turn into AT&T I something and then IS and then. And the channel features a lecture series from Mr. Amorso and other security experts known as the CIO Corner, which is the Chief Information Officer, with interviews of Chief Information Officers. AT&T eventually wants to allow viewers to interact with security experts through the channel. AT&T executives think it could be part of the future channel lineup on its internet-based television service that the company will start rolling out as soon as late this month, which should be now. So they're having a channel to make things better when you pay for it. But that's how it goes. DirecTV is going to pay a $5.3 million fine for calling customers on the Do Not Call list. The Federal Trade Commission yesterday announced the $5.3 million penalty against satellite television provider DirecTV Group, charging the company and its affiliates made thousands of calls to consumers who had put their telephone numbers on the National Do Not Call registry. The fine, 10 times the previous record amount for a Do Not Call list case, is by far the largest the agency has ever assessed for violations of a consumer protection law. Previously, the FCC issued relatively modest fines to companies that made illegal telemarketing calls. Where does this $5.3 million go? Nobody knows! More than 110 million phone numbers have been registered, making the list one of the most popular consumer protection efforts ever. Where's the money go? The FCC receives between 2,000 and 3,000 complaints about each alleged violations each day, up from the 1,000 to 2,000 daily complaints over the summer. The agency says it has filed 18 cases against violators since the registry took effect in 2003. So they're getting over 1,000 complaints a day, and they've filed 18 cases. They're doing a good job. They're doing a hell of a job. That sounds fucking clever. Roughly 25 states maintain their own Do Not Call lists, and several have longer or stronger consumer protection than federal registry. Some, like Florida and Indiana, have also been aggressively enforcers. Ooh, Florida, for example, has filed more than 110 lawsuits against companies that have run afoul of the registry. Industry groups have petitioned federal regulators to override many of the stricter provisions in state laws. The Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, which jointly administers the national registry with the FTC, is expected to rule on the petition early next year. So hold on, they're taking away states' rights to protect their people. Because, you know, Florida's doing a lot better job, it seems, in going after these people than the big one. But people are like, oh, that's not fair. I should be able to, you know, call people that signed up for this thing that says, hey, don't call me. That makes no goddamn sense. I'm sorry these chips are so loud, but they're fucking good. I'm fucking drunk. I'm fucking hungry. Here's something cool. Consumer Reports is selling a thing for $4 a month that you'll be able, it's called ShopSmart, that takes you on your cell phone. You're like, I'm looking at these digital cameras. What's Consumer Reports say about it? So, you know, you don't have to, like, carry the book around or do previous research. You just pay them an extra $4, and they will tie it into your phone, your cell phone, so you can see your price range on, like, a product, overall score, how, you know, all the different specs. And it only covers three categories of products, like electronics, appliances, home and garden. And if you already subscribe to Consumer Reports magazine or the website, you still don't get it for free. You have to pay the $4 monthly fee. So, hey, we're kind of adapting. I don't know. What else have I got? Man, I'm out of articles. I'm out of drink. What time is it? Man, we've almost gone an hour. We've gone 45 minutes. I'm not going to ramble for another 15 minutes. But I am going to say, look, the whole point of this, treat people fairly, be nice to them. People fuck you over, you fuck them right back. That's how you do it. If you have a shitty job, fucking quit that bitch. It doesn't matter. You'll find a new job. Just fucking strive hard, do good, eat fucking potato chips that you love, and enjoy independent media, even though we didn't really touch on that. That's what Infonomicon counts as. We're independent media. And other than that, I think this has been episode 53 of Infonomicon Radio. Of course, our website, infonomicon.org. Our IRC channel is Pound Infonomicon on Freenet. Freenode. I'm drunk. I don't even know. It's free something or another. My name is Droops. Droops at infonomicon.org or gmail.com, whatever's easier to type. I'm goddamn sexy. You having a good new year. Check out, we got all kinds of more cool shit going on. And, regardless, fuck off and have a good day and just fucking do everything you want to do for yourself and make yourself happy. Happy holidays, motherfuckers, and you have a great new year.
Never forgive, never forgive.